In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we are richly, richly blessed on this 30th day of November for so many reasons, one of which is the commemoration of two evangelists, two saints who traveled across vast distances, who embodied what we heard in the epistle from St. Paul about the apostles seeming like their last, having troubles, having obstacles, having sufferings and hunger and cold and difficulties. Of course, this is the truth about a true apostle. And the two evangelists I'm speaking about, we have their icons here. One is our own Saint Sebastian of San Francisco and Jackson, California. Saint Sebastian was born of Serbian parents in 1863. He died in 1940. He covered this whole continent, back and forth, back and forth, evangelizing, establishing churches, ministering to Orthodox communities that were not yet gathered, and gathering them together to build churches. Last night, we had the great joy of being able to be anointed with the oil that hangs from the lamp in front of his relics, which are in Jackson at St. Sava Church. I recommend you take a pilgrimage to venerate St. Sebastian. And the others, our wonderful Andrew, the first called apostle. You heard the second gospel in honor of him, and we have a number of Andrews that we are congratulating today. The deacon and I, Deacon Justin and I, had the great blessing to venerate St. Andrew's relics at the monastery of St. Andrew on Mount Athos back in May. And Matushka, Anna and I were blessed, I guess it was 1983, we visited a friend in Patras where St. Andrew was martyred. And we, you know, he was martyred on a X-shaped cross. And we were able to venerate a portion of that cross there in that church of St. Andrew, in the place where he had been martyred. St. Andrew met Christ, and he says to his brother, "Come. We have seen him whom the prophets speak about." The Triparion ends with, "Come, we have seen the desired one." In evangelist ministry, his job is to introduce a person to Christ, to meet Christ, to know Christ, to have a relationship with Christ. So we pray today that the Lord sees us, he hears us, he comes to us, so we have a deeper and deeper relationship with him. And if you haven't met him to the degree that you know is possible, then ask St. Andrew to come and say to you, "Come, we have seen the desired one. Here he is. Meet him." I'd like to give you a picture of his martyrdom now. I'll pass over his life. You can read that online on the OCA website. But the martyrdom is a very different thing, and it's a wonderful story, so bear with me. So Andrew came to the city of Patras in Greece after his wide travels in Asia Minor, some say all the way up into what is now Ukraine, establishing churches, evangelizing, and he comes to Patras in the Peloponnese. That's that lower part of Greece that looks a little bit like Australia. It's down there. And there he's preaching the gospel. And there was a governor there named Agiatis, who had a wife named Maximilia, and she was sick. She was ill. And she heard the message of salvation about Jesus Christ, and she became a Christian and was devoted to St. Andrew. And he prayed for her, and she was restored to her health. the governor was not happy with this relationship. Of course, I assume he was happy that his wife was healed, but maybe he didn't care. But he was very angry that St. Andrew was gaining converts for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he had him arrested. And Andrew said to him, "It would be best for you, O judge of men, to come to know him who is our real judge, who dwells in the heavens. Acknowledge the true God and worship him, turning away from the false idols and divinities that you now adore." The governor was very angry with him and says this, "Are you Andrew, who tears down the temples of the gods and teaches the people the sorcerer's faith, which has recently appeared and which the emperors of Rome have ordered to be destroyed?" Andrew answered, "The emperors of Rome do not understand what was clearly demonstrated by the Son of God, who came to the earth to save mankind, that the idols are not gods, but the abodes of unclean demons, enemies of the human race. And those who worship them will be enslaved by them, and their souls issue forth from their naked bodies when they die, possessed of nothing but their own sins." And the governor said, "The Jews arranged to have your Jesus nailed to the cross because he was a preacher of fables." And Andrew answered, "Oh, if you could only understand the mystery of the cross. If only you could comprehend that it was out of love for us that the creator of the human race endured voluntary crucifixion. He knew beforehand when he would suffer, and he prophesied that he would rise on the third day." And the governor answered and said, "I'm amazed at you, apparently a wise man, that you're a follower of one whom you yourself admit was put to death, a shameful death, as a criminal on the cross. It's all the same whether he was voluntarily crucified or involuntarily crucified. Still, he was put to death on the cross." And Andrew says in response, "Great is the mystery of the Holy Cross. If you wish to learn of it, I will gladly speak to you about it." And the governor said, "The cross is not a mystery. It's a punishment for criminals. It's an instrument of execution." St. Andrew replies, "This punishment is the mystery of the renewal of the human race, which I will tell you if only you will be patient and allow me to speak." So St. Andrew says to him, "Be quiet a little bit and I'll explain to you." What boldness, what boldness. And then the governor said, "I will listen to you patiently, but if you refuse to do as I command, I will force you to endure the mystery of the cross yourself." He's being sarcastic. And Andrew answered a marvelous and amazing answer. He said, "If I were afraid of punishment by crucifixion, I would not worship the one who was glorified on it." And the governor said, "You have lost your mind. It's because you have lost your mind that you praise the cross. And because you are foolish that you prefer that you do not fear death. You've become a total fool." And Andrew responded, "I have not lost my mind. I have found it. It is not foolishness, but faith that has set me free of the fear of death. For the death of the righteous is honorable, but grievous is the death of sinners. Therefore, it is my desire that you listen to what I need to tell you about the mystery of the cross. Acknowledge the truth and believe and gain your life. Win your soul," said the apostle. And the governor replies, "Only that which is lost can be found. If my soul is truly lost, I cannot imagine it that you will find it by means of your stupid faith." Sounds pretty modern, doesn't it? And Andrew answered him, "I will reveal to you in what perdition men's souls lie, so that you may recognize the salvation effected through the holy cross of Christ." It's the cross of Christ. "The first man ushered in death to the world by the tree of disobedience. And so it was necessary for the race of men, the human race, that death might also be abolished through the tree of suffering. As the first man who brought in death was formed of pure and virgin earth by God, so it was necessary that Christ, who is at once perfect man and the Son of God, and who fashioned the first man, be born of a pure virgin to restore life everlasting, which has been lost to all men. The Son of God stretched out his blameless hands upon the cross, facing on that wood the transgression of the first man who, lacking self-restraint, stretched forth his hand to the tree of desire and took the forbidden fruit. In place of the sweet fruit of the forbidden tree, Christ tasted bitter gall upon the cross. Taking on himself the death that was our due, he bestowed immortality upon us. Now, when St. Andrew had finished this, the governor said to him, "Speak of these things to those who are interested, not to me. But if you do not sacrifice to the gods, I will have you beaten with staves and crucified upon the cross which you so greatly glorify." And Andrew responded, every day I offer to the one true, almighty God, not the smoke of incense, not the flesh of bulls, not the blood of goats, but I offer the spotless Lamb of God, the liturgy, who suffered in sacrifice upon the altar of the cross. All the faithful partake of this most pure body and blood. And the governor mocked him. How can this be? You're foolish. Andrew said, "If you wish to understand, become a disciple." In other words, if you wish to understand the mystery of the cross, there's only one way. These are my words. You have to become his disciple. If you become a disciple of Christ, if you follow faithfully what he teaches, do what he did, act as he acts, you will understand the mystery of the cross, because you will enter into that mystery. You will experience it yourself. St. Andrew says, become his disciple, you will know. But if you don't become his disciple, you will never know. And the governor said, "I will extract knowledge of it from you by torture. I'm not going to suffer, you're going to suffer, and then maybe I'll see if it's true or not." St. Andrew answered, as this comes to a conclusion, "I'm amazed that you, a learned man, speak so foolishly. Do you suppose that you can learn God's mystery by torturing me? I've already explained to you the mystery of the cross. If you wish to believe in Christ, the Son of God who was crucified, I will tell you how he was slain and yet lives, how he was sacrificed and is eaten and still remains alive and whole in his kingdom." And the governor says, "How can it be that he was put to death and then he's consumed his food? You make no sense." "If you believe with all your heart," St. Andrew said, "you will come to understand this mystery. But if you do not believe it, you will not." St. Andrew then said, "Until now I have spoken to you meekly, wishing to instruct you in the holy faith. It was my hope that you would prove to be a reasonable man, recognize the truth, renounce the idols which you worship, and worship the one true and living God who dwells in heaven. But since you remain obstinate and imagine that I fear your tortures, I invite you to devise whatever you want. I am the slave of the cross, Jesus Christ. I do not fear death by crucifixion." And the governor said, "Okay, then you shall have it." And St. Andrew was crucified on the X-shaped cross. And then the story says a light came from heaven, and Maximilia, the wife of the governor, took down the holy body from the cross after he was dead. She anointed it with costly ointments, and she placed it in her own new tomb. These things, it says, took place on the last day of the month of November in the city of Patras. For us, can we see what an amazing change of life from that fisherman to that theologian? Can we see in our own life a path of such also profound change in whatever way God has determined that we can flourish? This is the story we have to follow, the story of the cross and the resurrection. To our Lord be glory now and ever, to ages of ages. Amen.